The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience. Check this.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate, beaming out from the famous Mountaintop Studios here in Letterkenny. This is Highland Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether that be live now or via podcast. Listen, we have a great show in store for you this evening with some great guests. And in the coming weeks, we have the likes of Tomás O'Shea coming on the line, Kerry Legend. We also have secured DJ Kerry to come on a special hurling coming down the road. But tonight, we are concentrating on all the action in Donegal and the North West. Later on the show, I'm going to be joined by Maria Kelly, formerly Devaney, to discuss Glen Funn's excellent win in the Ladies' Senior Championship. Barry Meehan will be on the line to give us his take on the intermediate, but first up we go to the men's senior championship, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by two men in studio. We've taken over Highland Radio tonight, social distancing and all. I'm looking through studio one here at Brendan Kilcoyne. I'm in number two, and Martin McHugh, I'm delighted to say, is number three. Two men that know all about lifting the Dr. Maguire. And I think, lads, we need to get straight into the action because we have a lot to discuss this evening, and we're going to start at the top. Niamh Connell and their easy victory over Glen Funn. It was a weekend when championship action, we thought the four teams, the big four, would qualify. They did, but it wasn't without their hiccups. Two went through fairly clean. The other two, there was good games in it. But we'll start with Niamh Connell's victory over Glen Funn. Brendan, you were at that on Saturday.
Yeah, I was indeed, Brendan, and you know, they won very comfortably, Brendan, from the point of view that, you know, they just had too much power all over the pitch. Niamh Connell looked to be in a really good place this year, Brendan. They're going really well, they look really organised and focused, and they're not hiding the fact that they're going to put back-to-back titles together. So there's no, they're not disguising that in any way. They certainly have talent all over the pitch, and I was really impressed with their half-back line, Jack McKelvey, Anthony Thompson and Ethan O'Donnell, who really were the launch pad for the victory. And, you know, they went through, they didn't start off that great. They were 2 points up maybe after 10 or 15 minutes. But then it all changed. Owen McGettigan, who had started really brightly and kicked two wonderful scores from play, got involved in a couple of incidents, two yellow cards off the field. And at the exact same time, Kieran Thompson picked up an injury and was taken off. And that, would you would have thought, would have been a big blow for a team like Niamh Connell. But no, they just got on with it and they actually upped the gears after that. And they were superb. Now, Niamh Connell will be sweating on the fitness of Kieran Thompson for the semi-final because he's a top player for them. You know, around the middle of the field, he dictates matter and he's a wand of a left foot. He's always good for a few scores. So they will be concerned about, you know, his fitness coming into next Sunday, so they will. But listen, you can't fault them on the performance on Sunday. They were excellent. They've big Charlie McGuinness playing at the edge of the square and he really is an outlet for them. They've, you know, they've been associated with playing defensive football down through the years and working the ball through the different zones. But they're not afraid now to let a longer ball in to Charlie, who is able to do the business in there, and he's a lot of experienced players about him, Brendan. So an impressive performance from Niamh Connell.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we've seen it with Kilcoo that could have won the match for him. There was goal chances created everywhere, that high ball and a lot of power and height inside. It hasn't been Niamh Connell's fault that they haven't come up against a tougher test this season. No one's been up to the mark with him. You say Charlie McGuinness scoring 1-5. You know, a man of the match performance from Ethan O'Donnell, real classy, you know, player that has that extra time and cruises around the pitch. But again, Niamh Connell learning nothing really from that game and have eased into yet another semi-final. They're going to take a bit of stopping. Now, across in Townie later on this evening, I think my man in Studio 3 here might have been sweating a bit because his side, Kilcare, again, after St Michael's performance against St Union's, I think they were completely written off going into this one. There was a stage towards the end of the first half, it was 293 points. But after that, we had an absolutely epic, titanic tussle in Townie. Martin, and what was the feeling from the Kilcare camp after that comeback?
Yeah, I think sweating would be an understatement. It didn't look good at the time. And somebody said to me, if it had gone another couple of minutes, St Michael's could have won it. And as well as that, looking back on the game and I watched it again, Colm Anthony McFadden was having a big game for St Michael's and he went off at a stage. So I think Kilcare were happy to see that. So looking at it, suppose I was chatting to a man that said to me he was on about Kilcare, and he says, what's wrong with Kilcare is we have 14 half forwards and a goalkeeper. And he says that's the way we play our football, and we're always open to concede at the back. And losing Brian O'Donnell as well, as Brendan has said about Kieran Thompson, the blow is Brian O'Donnell at fullback. It was a blow to Kilcare to lose Brian as well. He's playing really, really well. He's having a good year this year. So, you know, disrupted the team. And then they conceded the first goal because they all got caught out the field and the ball went right in over the top. It was more like the famous goal that Donegal got against Dublin in 2014 where they drew the whole team out. And Kilcare got caught, players got caught and left a 1-1 situation. And fair play to St Michael's. You've got to give St Michael's a lot of credit for their performance, because when it was 2-8-2 points, Brendan, you just thought it was going to be easy for Kilcare and everything else. But St Michael's dug deep and they got goals. So, you know, we say that, you know, Niamh Connell haven't really been tested yet. We look at it that, you know, Kilcare had a great match against St Union's and now they've had a good test as well. So it's, you know, going into a semi-final, maybe sometimes, you know, having that test now, Niamh Connell with experience, something else, you don't think that'll matter. But I think it's no harm for Kilcare. And I think that, you know, it's the same draws as last year, the exact same draws, Kilcare and Gidor and Niamh Connell and St Union. So, you know, Kilcare, Gidor, and you know, Gidor weren't that impressive either. So you have two of the teams that have been the most impressive this year in one semi-final, and two teams that haven't really performed to the level that people were hoping they would. So
yeah, so Martin, is there a thing in Kilcare, just, you know, from the game in O'Donnell Park where they were 7-0 and cruising against St Union's, and then they let them back in? Is there a feeling there that there's no doubt in the absolute, as you said, firepower that they have? It's a matter, I suppose, we've often seen that with teams going to big leads. Once they start to sit, are they inviting trouble?
In a way, you know, you should just bury the game when you can and everything else. And then, you know, players would have an argument with you there that maybe the best thing, you know, was to sit and take the other team on and then try to break it down, especially if a team's going defensive and that there. But I think it's definitely someone they have to look at. That, you know, when they're going forward, when they move at the pace and everything else, they're very good. But defensively, so far this year, they've been very, very disappointing, Kilcare. So, you know, it's one part of the team that, you know, we talk about that people are going to go for is the Kilcare defence at the minute because of the way they're playing. So hopefully, you know, they've a week in that to get it right, and now they've lost their full-back in Brian O'Donnell as well. So he's a big blow.
Yeah. Sorry to put you in the spot, Martin, but penalty, Martin Michael Haney, can you call it for us?
Yeah, it's Kilcare were training the following morning, and the boys came back out to the house, and I says to Mark, what about the? And Mark said, he says, you can ring Martin Michael Haney. He says, I actually got the ball, and I knocked the ball away from, and he says, it was a very, very good tackle. So I said to him, I'm going to watch it again. I thought at the time it was definitely a penalty, but he said that he made a really good tackle, and he says, if you ring Martin Michael Haney, he'll tell you that. So the man that can maybe tell the tale is Martin Michael Haney.
Well, that's the type of inside news we love, Martin, from the horse's mouth. We'll have to take his word for it. I must get a chat to Michael Haney. All right, good into Sunday's games then. Do you know, after that shock a Saturday night, the one game I suppose we were all thinking about was because of Gidor's issues in terms of, as Martin was saying, they haven't maybe hit the high point, certainly not what they did from 2 years ago. And McCool's were one of those teams, well organised, and of course they have the absolute magic inside of Oisín Gallan. So you were just wondering what if, but at home, Brendan, and with a decent crowd outside of the grounds watching it, you didn't really think it would come unstuck, but it came mighty close. And what was a fascinating game.
It absolutely was, yeah, and you're right about Oisín Gallan. Like, he started off so lively. First 15 minutes, he kicked three absolutely wonderful points. They were a joy to be there to watch. But you have to give great credit to Gary McFadden. He was marking him and tagging him all day. And whilst he got them three early scores, he didn't really get that many more chances as the game went on. So, you know, Gidor defensively did very well. And I was just looking, Gidor actually scored as much from play from their defenders. Niall Freel, Neil McGee scored a clinker of a point, and Darrow Boyle, as their four forwards, scored from play. So, listen, Gidor will be thinking, you know, they need to get Oran McNeillis back on the field, Micheál Carroll back, because they're struggling up front, they're not getting enough scores from their inside forward line, and they need to start getting them scores. All that said, they're a very difficult team, and you have to give great credit, you know, that took off Ethan Harkin. They played some sort of trick to get him back on the field again, and it was a bit of genius to get him back on the field for that free kick. I think Eamon McGee might have been involved in something there. Yeah. But it was really, really good, and it was a ballsy kick. Listen, there was a lot of pressure on that kick to knock it over the bar. And to be fair, Cian Mulligan, who to me had been Gidor's best player all day and really effective, linked up very well for the win and score then. But Guidor will be going in. I don't think Guidor will be too disappointed to grind out a result in a semi-final. You have to give good credit to McCools. They stuck to the task all day. But Guidor will be going in now, and expectations are down on them. If you go back to last year, I remember Mervyn O'Donnell after a semi-final saying that the media and other people were disrespecting Guidor, and Guidor like to have the whole world against them, and they're going to feel now that, you know, that people are writing them off, and they're going to go into this game with not great form, but they have great pedigree, and you know, we know the quality they have all over the team, so they're there, and they've ever done play for going forward in the semi-final. But the ground, they basically just ground out a win down in Marragallan yesterday, Brendan.
Yeah, and Martin, do you think Guidor, you know, with that confidence they had from 2 years ago, it'd been done the last year, they almost did back-to-back in that epic three games with Niamh Connell. Do you think that's still in them, that they think coming down the wire they've still got the players to beat the other top three sides?
Ah, yeah, they feel that. Looking at them, they probably have the best defence of the four teams left in the competition. And, you know, as Brendan's rightly said, that they need to get more scores up front. And that Ethan Hargan incident, if it had happened in inter-county football, it wouldn't happen, because the fourth official you have to go through the fourth official to get a player back on the field, and you don't have to do that. But I think looking at it, they need Oran McNeillis back. I said to them after the game, the supporters there, I said, you just need Niamh Connell. That's the draw you just need in the semi-final to get you right back going again to have a big lift. So, you know, I was down in Monaghan last night at a wake, and I was actually chatting to Monaghan people, and they said Scotstown hadn't been firing at all year. And all of a sudden, the semi-final yesterday, they hammered Carrickmacross, and the best performance they had in a few years. So listen, it can still happen with Guidor. You know, we know what the players, the quality of players they have and everything else, and bound to be a wee bit disrupted with the two players not there and not playing. I mean, two big players. You take two big players out of any team, you know, Brendan, the difference it makes. So I think looking at they're happy enough to be where they are. Can they get the two lads back? It'll be a big one for them. Hopefully from a Kilcar point of view that they don't and everything else. But I think that they're still there. And, you know, the thing about getting into semi-finals, I think the best way is to try to limp into that semi-final if you can get in there, and hopefully the big performance comes at that stage.
Yeah, certainly two teams have, as you say, Martin, have limped in. They're coming under the radar a small bit, and we'll be joined for more of the action just after this advertisement break.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Yeah, folks, and in the final game in this saga at the weekend, St Eunan's took on Bundoran, and it was much talked up Bundoran side that came into the game. Came in more McCools looking to create a shock, Brendan. I suppose the biggest shock we had was the tactics Bundoran employed. You know, I felt very much with McCools against Guidor. They made the pitch small. They tried to work off the percentages, give themselves a chance in the match, which they did, going that 3 points up and really asking a lot of questions of Guidor. It was a huge fight back. So we came to Donald Park probably thinking, would Bundoran employ similar type of tactics? But they basically went man for man. They tried to take Eunan's over the pitch. They did put in a sweeper, and then the extra ability of legs of St Eunan's just ran riot. Brendan, how did you see it?
Yeah, listen, it was game over, Brendan, after 10 or 15 minutes. Eunan's were so superior in every area of the pitch, and you were looking at Bundoran, and you know, they've a certain amount of quality through their team, but they were set up just for teams to run at them, and they left massive gaps between, we'll say, St Eunan's inside line, and the St Eunan's midfield players were looking up, popped the ball into 30, 40 yards of space that the St Eunan forward were able to get out in front. Their sweeper was paying outside the 45. I don't know where he was marking space. So they really did, you know, they weren't really set up to, it was merely disrespectful to St Eunan's, and St Eunan's just tore them apart at their will, and it was an embarrassing defeat. And I felt sorry for Bundoran coming out of the match, like, because there was no enjoyment in that from a St Eunan's point of view, and Bundoran would certainly, it'll take them a while to recover it. Like, amazingly, St Eunan's have won their last two quarter finals by 25 points last year, 29 points yesterday. That's an average of 27 points, and you know, it is concerning that teams are handing out hammerings like that to other teams in quarterfinals of championship football kind of thing. And it shows you that there is still a significant gap between the top four. Okay, we had McCools and St Michael's putting up really good performances, but the bottom line is winning these games. And St Bundoran were so far off the mark yesterday, it was unreal, Brendan.
Yeah, I mean, they were up for the match. They tackled hard. You know, I could see from their bench there was a lot of emotion. They came with it. I think, Brendan, if it was 10 years ago, they probably gave St Eunan's a game. But such is the evolution of the game in terms of tactics and setups. If you're playing a better team, and unfortunately for purists, you have to protect yourself. You have to get players around and hitting the break. Otherwise, if you've lesser talent than another team, you've got to come up with a tactical plan. So I was really shocked at that, Brendan. As you say, just did no good for Bundoran. And for you, you had a huge weekend, Brendan. That was the last game. I suppose you were looking for a bit of excitement. It must have been a tough second half, because no one wants to see a team beaten to that level. There's nothing for either side.
Absolutely not, no. And I was like, when Mark Dorian announced there was going to be 7 minutes injury time, and I thought, oh my God, I can't commentate on this for another
not
7 minutes.
Another cappuccino needed at the tens of the day.
Something stronger than a cappuccino maybe, Brendan, at that stage, you know. But like, you had Conor O'Donnell coming on, scoring two goals. He came on after maybe 50 minutes, scored two goals and set up another. And it was just, if it was a training session, I think the manager would have told them all, come in and it'd be back to the good old days. Right, boys, you're doing laughs, because they had totally lost their discipline, shape, everything at that stage. And it was just freewheeling for unions. You know, I suppose you look at Jamie Brennan. I don't know, was he at himself yesterday? He looked like a man that wasn't really at himself yesterday, so he did. Aaron Deeney was marking him, and Aaron Deeney is a very good marker, and he hadn't really started in St. Junan's other games, but Jamie never really got going. And then Paul Brennan tagged with Mark and Niall O'Donnell, and that meant that Paul wasn't able to contribute on the front foot for Bundoran, and he has been doing that for a regular basis for Bundoran down through the year. So they were really taking, you know, the two of their main weapons were neutralised, Brendan, and never really contributed to Bundoran, and they needed them guys to have big games in order to. But listen, St. Union's march on, they were prolific yesterday, scores coming from all areas of the field, a really young team with massive legs all over the place, Brendan, pace, and it just shows you the beauty of youth. These guys can run. Like, I was looking at Brian McIntyre and Peter McNiff on the wing beside us in the second half. And listen, it's always easier when you're when you're well ahead to get that energy. But it was phenomenal, the mileage they put up. I'd love to see their GPS tracker outlay from yesterday, because they put up serious mileage altogether.
Great conditioning, and that's where all the senior teams have to be. Fitness is probably up there with the most important things they say, that ability to go up and down the pitch. Looking to the semi-finals, Martin St. Junan's, Niamh Connell. There's two schools of thought now. Of course, with Niamh Connell cruising through, people say they played three of the teams that were ended up in the relegation, and no real game yesterday. Of course, not their problem. What can they do about that, Martin? They have certainly, I think, got a bounce from last year. You know, they obviously got a couple of hammerings in the two previous years. They went all the way to an Ulster final, gave a good account of themselves, and they have looked, you know, in terms of the best team in the county. They have looked it. Again, Martin, are we reading too much into who they played, and where are St. Union's at, do you think, going into this game?
Well, first of all, I was just saying that you were talking about the fitness, Brendan and Jim's and everything else. I was thinking about it even watching the club games on television. There were one time in the past you'd watch them and they were terrible to watch and everything else, and you had boys with bellies on them playing everywhere. The level of a club player now, you know, they're putting in the same effort as the county, and it's great to see that. And we have, you know, clubs in this county, you know, we talk about team, you know, Brendan was saying about Bundoran, you know, it was a bad way to finish your championship, where we'll say Bundoran would be hard to lift the lads again, where both McCool's and St. Michael's will feel getting ready already for next year. And that's what, you know, the difference in it. But we look at the level of fitness, you know, you have no players anymore carrying any weight, and they're all looking after their bodies and looking after themselves. That's a great credit to themselves and a great credit to their clubs and everything else. But Mike, to the question, I'm looking forward to this match. I think it's, you know, Unions. I actually tipped Unions at the start to win the championship, and looking at them at the minute, you know, you don't really know yet enough. The Kilcar game was a good test, and they showed great character to come back and everything else. That probably gave them a good lift. We'll know. This is the big test for them, Niamh Connell. I mean, they got very close last year. Now, maybe over depending on Niall O'Donnell last year and everything else, and Niamh Connell will definitely have something, you think, in the locker for him this time. And you know, but this Unions team, like we talk about Brian McIntyre, he's been probably the player of the championship to date. And the quality of all the other players. And then they've, you know, they lost Conor Morrison, but Eamon Doherty goes to full back and steadies gets in there and steadies himself there. Rory Cavanagh and Conor Donald doing well in that midfield area along with McGettigan there. So, and then we know the quality they have on the bench and everything else. So this is a really going to be a great game, great test. Yeah, I think Niamh Connell are better than they were last year, particularly the younger lads in the halfback line that Brendan talked about. You know, you've got Ethan O'Donnell, Jack McKelvey, and Owen McGettigan. They've given something different to it. Now, is Kieran Thompson going to be fit? It's a big one. Liam McLoone got a game under his belt and everything else. And what about the fullback? Are they going to play Jason Campbell at fullback? I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's a hard enough game to call, but Niamh Connell have been the most impressive team to date, Bren.
Yeah, interesting, Martin, surely. I think of all the teams, I suppose, you know, Kilcar, Gidor, and they've kind of won championships in the recent few years and have been in the final. St Unions haven't, you know, the last few years they haven't got to the mark. So I think of all the four teams, I think it's them that most probably need to get into a final. That's not going to count on the day, obviously. You would think Niamh Connell have the more experience. I suppose it's that bit of experience versus a youth coming through in St Unions. And the other semi-final, Brendan, Kilcare and Gweedore, Lockhorns, no more than the first game. That's going to be a very hard game to call.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, they met at the same stage last year. And, you know, Kilcare conceded three goals in the semi-final last year. They conceded three goals last Saturday night against St Michael's. And Martin will say there too, you know, it could have been five. And that's the area that Kilcare are going to have to tighten up if they're going to progress to the final this year. It's an area of concern for them. Brian O'Donnell picking up an injury last week doesn't help matters. You have David McShane, or Conor McShane, that came in. And, you know, Conor has great experience there, but they need to sort that out. And it's a lot to sort out in a week. They have issues there. There's no doubt in the talent that Kilcare have on the front foot. They will hurt teams on the front foot, but they need to tidy up defensively. I suppose the big one for Gaidor is, you know, and we spoke briefly about it earlier, getting their key players back, getting that midfield access back. You know, the two really defenders in the centre of the field with Aidan McGee and Oran McFadden-Ferry the last day. And if you look at Oran McNeil and Micheál Carroll, who are listed in the midfield, they're two attacking midfielders. And that's what was lacking from the Gaidor team, I felt, yesterday. It's a really, really hard one to call. Gaidor went into last year's semi-final feeling a bit aggrieved and put up a massive performance to take Kilcare out by, I think, something like 3-8 to 12 points or something like that, or 15 points. They won by 4 or 5 points. But it's going to be an interesting one, and it's very hard to call any of these. All of these teams are capable of beating each other on a given day, Brendan. So any of these games can go anyway, and it's very difficult to call them. I'm looking forward to both of them, and I don't really know which way they're going to go.
Yeah, so you're going to sit on the fence. Obviously, Martin has to stick with St Unions. You're going to have to give me a team here, Brendan. I'm going to push you.
On Gaidor, Kilcare. Listen, I'm going to slightly go for Gaidor, so I am. I just think that the defensive frailties that Kilcare have shown to have might come against them. And again, they need to tidy that up, because Gaidor, despite the fact that their forward unit haven't been firing on all cylinders, have the ability to do that, so they have.
Yes, good man, Brennan. Looking forward to these games. The two crackers in store in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Football Championship. Now, across their neighbours in Derry, we're down to quarter-final stage. Glen versus the great Slough Neil. Mara Felt, last year's winners, are playing Enda McGinley managed Swatra. Ballinascreen are playing Ballinderry. And Loop versus Owen Rua Cole Rain, who were the 18 championships. And, of course, the Throne Senior Championship, which has been, I'd say, the most talked about, certainly in Ulster. Some absolutely fantastic games. RTE obviously picked up on this Saturday evening, showing the two games on television. They didn't disappoint again, particularly the Trillicoole Island match. Martin, did you watch the two games, and you're feeling on the Throne Championship? I'd be interested to know your points, because it seems like each place, most of these teams in Throne, are really defined the town or the village that they're from. I think Kilcare's like that, Gaidor's probably like it, Niamh Connell. And there seems to be that feeling in Throne, and that's why these games are so close. Nobody wants to give an inch.
No, they're very evenly matched. Dungannon are in the final, and every one of their games went to extra time, and they're in the final in this. And Trillig had a game going to extra time and penalties against Killyclare, and I think maybe of the 12 championship games, 8 of them went to extra time, and Tyrone, so they're very little between all the teams. But I met a Tyrone man, sitting a Throne man on Sunday, and he's asked me where to think. Well, I said it was great to see the Throne manager talking to the RTE after the game. But I think looking at it, it's been the thing about them is they're so evenly matched, teams can't get out. You know, maybe a wee bit like Donegal, it's very hard to do back to backs, and that's why they, you know, somebody said, why are Tyrone not doing better in Ulster? Very, very hard to get out back to back. Now, Trillig are in the final back to back this year with an Ulster club, but they have Eric O'Kane's only Tyrone team that ever won an Ulster club. And it's hard to believe with the quality of footballers they had, quality of clubs they had, Brendan, that they haven't got more Ulster clubs.
Yes, certainly. And the Monaghan Championship's down to the last two now as well. Martin, you're saying you were in Monaghan last night. Clontibert, of course, last year's champions, they were dumped out already. And Monaghan's down to the big two of Ballybay and Scotstown. That should be a cracker as well.
Yeah, I reckon Bally or Scotstown always have the better about Ballybay when they play them, but this time in the past Scotstown always just scraped over a semi-final, lucky enough maybe after replay to get into the final against Ballybay. This time Ballybay is the team that scraped in, they went to extra time, and they're very lucky to beat a very good young Inniskeen team that's coming with a lot of good young fellas. They won a couple of minors and that, so I still think people in Monaghan will still tell you that Scotstown will win it, but it'd be nice to see Ballybay. I had Paul Finley used to work for me, and he's playing for Ballybay, and he's in last maybe his last year playing. I'd love to see them, you know, them and the Wileys and that there won in the championship, but Scotland's going to be very hard to beat. People tell me down there.
Yeah, top fella and a great player as well. That's Oisín McConville, of course, was managing Enniskine, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Extra time, yeah, close stuff. Just in there was a relegation playoff at the weekend. Ardra kept their 44-year unbroken history of participation in the senior championship alive with a 1-11 to 12 points won over Dunloe. The all-important goal kicked by Kevin White. He also scored 1-2. And of course, this week at the Centre of Excellence, we have the Derby of Termin and Milford to see who is in that final spot to kind of stay in the championship. How vital is it to stay in the championship, Martin? Would it be your feeling that, you know, a team can go down to intermediate and regroup, or would you be of the feeling of stay in there and build it from the senior, even if you have taken a few tankings?
Yeah, I think that, you know, look, you would feel it depending on what kind of a team you have. If you have a good young team and you have a really good young team, it's no harm maybe a time to go down and rebuild it back up against you back up. Or if you have a, you know, and just other teams want to stay in the senior championship, they feel it's easier to get players to, you know, travel from Dublin or whatever it is, they stay in it. I don't think it matters anymore. You know, some, especially now, teams that, you know, could go down and do well in an Ulster club and anything else. But suppose, Brendan, looking at the whole thing is, with the four teams that we said at the start would be in the semi-final, the senior championship, and the four teams that are in the intermediate championship as well, people would have tipped them at the start that the four best teams. So that, you know, the way that the system and the way they did it this year and everything else. But we end up with the teams, we maybe sometimes in the past we give out about not having the teams in the semi-finals or whatever. This year we have, and each intermediate and senior, we have the teams in it. But I have to congratulate Donegal GAA for the streaming. I watched their Dunloe game and streaming, the pitcher and everything was brilliant at it and everything else, and really enjoyable that you can sit in your house and watch games like that there now.
The streaming has been absolutely fantastic. And funny, I watched the game yesterday with Francie Friel, actually, the first game, and then I actually watched the second game with Sean Paul Barrett. The two boys will be locking horns in what is, you know, it's do or die, you know, neighbouring parishes. There'll not be an inch given. Like, that is a fascinating encounter next week at the Centre of Excellence. I think it's 6 p.m. convoy Saturday under lights.
Yeah, that'll be a great one to go to, because they are very close neighbours and all that. And you're looking at two different teams here completely. Termin of a very young side, the fulcrum of that good minor side they had. And then you're looking at Milford, who, you know, they're now nearly an experienced senior team. I think it would do Milford a lot of harm if they were relegated. But listen, it's a semi-final. Both teams are going to get a second shot at it. It's going to be an interesting game, and I'm looking forward to getting to it, Brendan, too.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. We're going to turn our attention now to the intermediate championship, and we're going to get our man Barry Meehan on the line now. A bit like the senior championship, we had four home venues and four fancied teams to go through, and they seem to go through without the bumps of the senior championship. They all went to form with Éirua coming through against Evora, Buncrana against Fannad coming through victorious in what was an 8-goal thriller. Buncrana coming out though 4-15 to 4-5. Clonhilly 13 points victors over Red Hughes, who managed 9, and the other game was Neave Columba 13 points to 1-7. Mallon in that epic journey from Mallon to Neave Columba. Have we Barry Meehan on the line?
I'm here, Brendan, yeah.
Barry, good man yourself. Faith, how's things this evening? You're not, you of course won the Intermediate Championship last year with St. Nosey. You missing those trips in and out of the gap?
Not at the moment, Brendan, no.
Good man, Barry. You certainly served your time and you had great success there. Barry, as I say, just looking into the Intermediate Championship, was it a question of, you know, in the seniors, we had those two sticky encounters. It looked like everything went to form in the Intermediate.
Yeah, Brendan, listen, everything was very much as expected. You know, I suppose Éirua and Evora, the home advantage was a big plus there for Éirua, even though, like, Evora went in 1-4-5 up at half time, but I suppose it was a very fortuitous goal they got in the first half, to be fair. As Éirua came out in the second half, kicked 10 points with the breeze at their back. Listen, Philip Patton was in fine form for them. And, you know, while they're not shooting the lights out like they would have been other years going into semi-finals and finals, you know, there was great talk about them the last couple of years. It's a lot quieter this year. You know, they'll fancy their chances definitely against Neave Columba in the semi-final. Looking at the other game, Clonhilly against Red Hughes, I suppose this was a case of one county man out, one county man back in. You know, Red Hughes lost Stephen McMenamin just before the throw-in, which was a huge loss at this level. Things were going pretty smoothly for Clonhilly. Paul Sweeney and John Fitzgerald, you know, they're real potency inside. They're able to win one ball and get the scores as well. you know, and especially they were very strong around about the middle with Darren McGeever and Kevin O'Hearn, really to the fore. They were 7-3 up at half time. I suppose, listen, both teams were wasteful, but Clonmacnoise probably a wee bit more. Then for the second half, right up until the water break, it was all Red Hughes, you know, and they really took control out around the middle. And Clonmacnoise were under a bit of pressure. You know, they lost all their discipline and their composure around there that they had in the first half. And then they lost Martin Maguire to an injury. But with that came the return of Jason McGee. And suppose, again, with that there came the return of Clonmacnoise's composure. He really settled things when he came back in, getting a goal chance, fine save from Luke Kelly. Then himself and Paul Sweeney and John Fitz put a lovely combination together for a score. And, you know, Clonmacnoise just kind of kicked on from there. They went 6 in front then. But then, listen, Red Hughes came back. Sean McCafferty made a fantastic save from Calvin Bradley, and that would have put a goal between them, you know, with only a couple of minutes on the clock. But listen, Clonmacnoise saw it out, and while Michael Lynch won't be overly happy about how wasteful they were and maybe the fact they lost their composure early in the second half, he'll be happy just to be back in the semi-final again. And listen, they're going to have their work out. Definitely were cut out against Buncrana, who were very, very impressive against Fannad. You know, they came out in the first 5-10 minutes, and to be honest, they battered Fannad. They were very, very physical. They really pressed high on their kickouts. You know, I think they had two fives scored within about 8 or 9 minutes. Their big physical presence around the middle, and they were very vocal as well. You know, Keelan McLaughlin and or Keelan McGonigal and Peter McLaughlin just they were winning everything. Listen, Fannad didn't really know what to do, and Buncrana had pressed right up on them, and the next minute they put big Michael Sweeney in full forward, and he finished with 4 goals. One of them, you know, a bit like what Martin was saying earlier about the Kilkerry game, Buncrana had pressed right up, and Fannad went long and got out over the top and right through, and the ball in the back of the net. You know, and a hat-trick of those came in the first half. And, you know, for being 2-5, you know, score up at one stage for Buncrana, they went down only 4 points up at half-time. You know, and suppose Jimmy Coyle and Michael Sweeney were really driving it for Fannad at that stage. But listen, when it came to it, the Jigger was the man of the match here. He really was unmarkable. He finished with, you know, 3-5, you know, off the left, off the right. Like, he was really, really impressive. And, you know, he really, a big statement. You know, he's back from injury. He's back in really, really good form, hitting the semi-finals. Oren Doherty pulling the strings at 11 was impressed as well. That game, Buncrana, Clonmacnoise now this weekend coming could be a real humdinger. You know, just the physical nature of both the teams could bring a really, really good game. Neil Columba, Mallon, listen, you know, it was Neil Columba were never really involved in this game, even though there's only three points in it at the end. 5 of those points came really much, you know, in the last 5-6 minutes from Mallon. It was all Neil Columba. Really early on, they were very impressive. Probably just didn't get enough scores on the board, but the way they were able to change their play, they were running the ball, then they were kicking long, and you know when they were running it, they were really, really rapid in their transition. You know, again, Aaron Doherty to the fore here. Kevin McNairn was very, very good at midfield. Philip Doherty at full back was absolutely outstanding. You know, he made runs that would remind you of things like Martin Cunningham and Michael Maguire would have been doing at that level for Glenn, you know, down through the years. And, you know, him and himself and Shane McGrath are going to have a real good tussle next weekend when Neil Columba come up against Arua, you know. But I fancy Neil Columba on that one. You know, their work rate defensively is really, really good. And then their movement inside, Lanty Malloy and Christy Byrne and Ryan Gillespie, you know, Ryan Gillespie and Aaron Doherty didn't have the same scoring threat as they did the other days, but Lanty Malloy stepped up yesterday. You know, Neil Columba look like they have a good balance about them this year. So, listen, looking forward to those two semi-finals. I'd say they're going to be very, very close.
Two huge semi-finals indeed coming up, and I think throwback to a 98 senior final here, Arua versus Neve Columba. Listen, Barry, thanks so much for rounding up the intermediate championship for us here. Looking forward to them semi-finals.
Remember.
And now on the DL Debate, the Championship podcast, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Maria Kelly, formerly Devaney, of course. How are you this evening, Maria?
I'm brilliant. Brendan, thanks very much. Maria, getting over yesterday's game.
The excitement and, you know, the Donegal Centre Stores Ladies Championship final, and certainly lived up to its billing of the big two. Now, Maria, I suppose Glenn Finn were going in, they were underdogs. I don't think it was a shock that they won, but I think it was the margin that they won by that was probably the shock on the day.
totally, Brendan. Like, Thurman reigning champions coming in from last year, as you said rightly, were tipped because of the scorelines they were putting up in previous games. But then Glenbys are formidable. Loads of county players and really strong club players. And Glenbys had two big battle games against another strong, serious senior team in Moville. And I think that those two games really helped Glenfinn. So when the ball threw in, by God, Glenfinn were straight into the game. They hit the ground running. Compared to, I suppose if you take last year's the narrowest of ones for Thurman against Glenfinn, that scoreline was probably more reflective of the two teams' quality-wise compared to yesterday's score. However, Glenfinn 7-7, like, to 2-10, so 14 scores to 12, but, you know, goals wins matches, and we had our full of it there yesterday. You could say the game was won in the first half. Paul Bonner, manager Glenfinn, he had his homework done, his matchups right. Both teams, Thurman and Glenfinn, had adopted a sweeper brand because, I suppose, the formidable forward line that both teams have, and Jerry McLaughlin and Bridget Gallagher for Thurman, and Ken Guthrie and Yvonne McGonigal for Glenfinn. Serious forward line. So both adopted a sweeper. Interestingly, Paul Bonner, in fair play to him, made a big call. Like, he put Katie Hearn back into the full-back line with Henry McGlynn. And like, Katie Hearn, Brendan, is the county midfielder, attacking midfielder, and she had a sacrifice her game yesterday, but it paid off because they marshalled that full-back line seriously well, and you know, kept the Thurman forward line relatively quiet that you would see on normal days. Very good. And any time, you know, Thurman was attacking, those two girls took up their positions, one marked behind Jerry and one marked in front, and there's another four or five defenders back. Thurman couldn't see where to hit that ball in, and a lot of times it was 70-30 balls going in that Jerry just, or Billy, weren't going to win. And that's all down to really good planning, strategising from Glenfinn. Well, if you went up the other side, when they were attacking Ken Guthrie and Granny Houston, a great game, and Annie Logue, number three in her back for Glenfinn, serious, especially in the first half, attacking. They were patient. But, and Yvonne, they're telepathic. Like, some of the balls that were played through were unreal. And, I mean, they were on fire, two of them yesterday. And Karen Guthrie, you know, it's like a GPS signal on Yvonne. Yvonne just come off her player and the ball was kicked in. Direct ball under her chest. Ball that, you know, that a forward will win. Not 50-50. And, you know, Yvonne was unstoppable yesterday. Like, she scored five goals in the first half. And I think that was the big, I suppose, very hard for Thurman to come back after from that. Any team to come back. But, you know, Thurman have Jordan McLaughlin, and they have the likes of Nicole McLaughlin, Olive, Roisin, Free Yankee, and Emer Gallagher, Roisin McCaff. So you're thinking, you know, at half time, I know it's 5-48 points to Glenfinn, but if any team could come back, it's Thurman, like Simone and Don, all them, they're leaders. But the game actually kicked off the way it finished. Glenfinn kept the momentum going. And even though Thurman got a penalty and Jordan buried it and Roisin scored one near the end, Roisin McCaff, it was from a free. It was a bullet into the back of the net. I'd say it was more from frustration more than anything, the way the day went for Thurman. It was counteracted from a great goal from Danielle McGinley and Brenda Carr from Glenfinn. And really, Glenfinn weren't going to lose that game today. Yesterday, it was a great game, great scoring from Geraldine and from Ken Guthrie and from Vaughan. Serious scores. And they were just so hungry for Glenfinn. There's nothing like a bit of revenge from last year. And they just, as I said, hit the ground running, and you couldn't see anything but them after the first half.
Marie, do you think the tactic of Glenfinn's game against Thurman in the group stages, where they kept Yvonne and Karen out of the game and seemed to go down and just play a defensive game and almost let Thurman beat them, and it almost like they were lying in wait then in the final?
Yeah, you could see it, like, you know, you're possibly, they were going to come out of those great stages anyway. And Yvonne, I think, had a bit of a knock. And I'm not too sure about Karen. So, you know what, rest, and then let them slide in at the semi-final, which they did against Moville then. And maybe, yeah, not play your full hand until the actual final. Now, as I said, they had a massive battle to get over Moville in those first in those games in the semi-final, especially only won by a point last week. But, yeah, could have been easily tactical, but at the same time, you're probably resting their big players and getting ready for the semi-finals. And Yvonne, as I said, she was like on fire, and Karen yesterday. They just, they're remarkable. They were hungry, greedy for the ball. And that was right through all the players of Glenties, you know, all them gears. They worked so hard up and down that pitch. And Terman just, whether Glenfin didn't let them, they just couldn't get in out of first gear. They just couldn't like, get going. But all credit to Glenfin. Great champions and, you know, best luck now. Because the ladies, we do have Ulster. Well, I hope the whole county get behind them now, because if they play like that, they could be going far in Ulster the year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the draw will be made. It's almost as if it's set that there is going to be a championship, but there hasn't been any talk about, is it just about the COVID at the minute? They're not sure if it was going to go that far. It looks like it's kind of lying in wait, but it hasn't just been organised.
That's right, yeah, nothing. They've said we're doing it, and they're not coming back from that. But yeah, there's been no draws, who's playing who next. And you know, county's going to be starting soon as well. The calendar's very full. How it's going to play, I don't know. You know, they're going to have to be quite creative and making sure that all these games are played off, because the ladies' All-Ireland final, I think, is like the 23rd of December. So there's I know it's round robin. There's still a lot of games to play. So it'll be interesting to see how they're going to do that. But I know Dunamoyne won as well, the current Ulster champions in Monaghan. Very strong. And they're hungry to go again into Ulster. So all these teams obviously want the extra games and they want to keep playing. So it'll just be interesting to see how they're going to put them all into the calendar. But as I said, Glenties will be a team that could do really well in Ulster this year.
And finally, of course, yeah. And Maria, just finally, and you know, you just mentioned Geraldine there. She still hit 1-6 in the game, which for Geraldine is probably an average day out. But it just seems like maybe you had the two attacks, you know, of Karen and Yvonne. They seem to be that pronged attack. Let's take them on away from, of course, the whole Glenfin squad. It takes a squad to win, of course, but you seem to have two players operating at such a high level, and maybe only Geraldine on the other side. And you think between, that was maybe just the tilting point that really set Glenfin on the way, outside of everything else. But they had those two players up front that, as you said, they're very telepathic, but they're both unbelievable at taking their scores and giving Glenfin the advantage.
Yeah, so true. Like, and we shouldn't, like, Journey scored 1-6. Like, I mean, when you say it, the 1-6 from any forward on any given day is unbelievable. And I suppose it's because her she set the bar so high every time she goes out that it's always nearly double that again, you know, in games. But yeah, to your point, they, you know, Bridget Gar, very strong, played for the county up there too. I just think defensively, Glenty's got it right. And because Karen and Yvonne play so well, like, you know, Bridget and Geraldine were sitting in the full while Karen was out in the half and playing some beautiful balls, lines into direct balls into Yvonne. And again, you know, as I was speaking earlier, Katie was marking maybe Geraldine from the side to the front and Annie below, while the Terman sometimes were marking her side by side. So she was out in front and got that ball. So even from a defensive perspective, Glenties, I think, just had that upper hand. Glenfin had that upper hand when it came to it from a defensive perspective. But yeah, I mean, Yvonne just yesterday was just, she was unstoppable. Like, some of the scores she took was just beauty to watch. Like, and as again, I mean, Thurman's side too, and Geraldine had some lovely scores. Yankee Freed and Roisin McLaughlin took some lovely scores from out around the 30, you know. And you think if they kept able to do that, maybe rather than always having to play the ball in, they could have been chipping away at that scoreline. But Glenties just never took the even though in the second half it was a bit more stop start, they just never dropped that fighting for every ball. And Yvonne McGonigal, even in Brett in the last quarter, she was up and she won ball even in her half back line. They weren't letting that game slip yesterday, and they were going to do all out to make sure they were going to take that cup home.
Yeah, you sure you weren't in Glenties today? You're thinking away about Glenties during this wee round up, Ray.
Did I? Oh my goodness.
It must be in your mind a bit. I've caught you a bit late in the evening, and I'll put you under a bit of pressure, actually. Yeah. Listen,
Jeez, I'm sorry, like, yeah. Glenfin, I don't have my head in a stick after that.
You'll be in trouble. Some of your buddies will be getting on your case. Listen, not at all, Ray. Don't worry about it. Easy done.
Before I go to apologies, like, lettuce. I don't know where that's coming from. as you said, it's after 8 long day. But History 3 was made yesterday. We had an all-female team of officials. And I just want to note that. And they had a great game. Referee Siobhan Coyle in line, Sinead McHugh and Roseanne Haughey. They had a great game there in the middle of the field in the two lines, women. So well done to them, and hopefully we'll see more of it.
Very important, as you said. Well done to Paul Bonner and his whole team. Two brilliant performances, of course. Danielle McGinley chipping in, and Brenda Carr coming off the bench with goals as well. Good luck to Glenn Finn in their Ulster escapade, Maria. And I'll chat you up later. I'll catch up with you later when we have a proper bit of time next time round. I think that Sligo game came a bit fast with us there to Finn Harps. We got caught a bit short. But Maria, thanks so much for holding on and giving us a roundup on Glenn Finn's brilliant victory, dethroning Termon in the senior ladies football final. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
Thanks.
Listen, folks, we're running shy on time here because there's a big game coming down the road in Sligo. Finn Harps taking on Sligo. We're going to do a section in the podcast on the ladies' final with Maria Devaney. We'll get that into the podcast for you. Do we round up that brilliant one? I want to take a bit of time on Glenn Finn. I want to thanks to my guests here tonight, Joe Dex for producing, Brenda Kilcoyne, Mark McHugh and Barry Meehan. I'll speak to you next week.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.